Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.'" Going down to verse 11, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, 'I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people,'" verse 14, "'if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place.'" Tonight I want to talk to us about revival praying. Revival praying. Prayer and revival go together. Prayer and revival go together. I don't know any great revival that happened without prayer. I don't believe there's a great revival in the history of mankind that happened without prayer. So God help us. Help us here tonight. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We read here tonight where Solomon finished the dedication prayer for the temple, and then there was fire that came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and then the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So much so that the priest could not go in. They could not minister. They could not go about their ministry there in the temple because of the glory of the Lord that filled the place. And so they bowed their faces down to the ground in praise and worship, saying, "For he is good, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." This was a very dramatic and visible demonstration of God's approval. This was similar to how the children of Israel saw the glory of God like a consuming fire on the top of Mount Sinai. And then also what happened when the tabernacle was dedicated by Moses. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34 says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." You want to talk about a worship service? Oh, man, I tell you, we may have our own agenda. We may have our own plans of how things ought to go in a service. But what if God's glory wants to step in? What if the power of God wants to move? What if the glory of God wants to work and do something that interrupts our agenda? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Would it be okay if God just decided to move here tonight and we're not able to finish all that we've planned? Is that all right? Come on, is that all right? Or are we going to get all bent out of shape if God tries to do what he wants to do in his church? Come on, Lord, whatever you want to do, however you want to move, let your glory fill this house. Let your power move in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the glory of God. Without God's glory, the Old Testament tabernacle was just, really, it was just a fancy tent. Without God's glory, Solomon's temple was just a very expensive construction. And the same could be said of a church, of a home, or about our own lives. Without the glory of God, we are nothing. We need the Lord. Oh, come on. We need to pray that same prayer that Moses did. God, please show us your glory. Please show us your glory. Oh, come on. We pray about all kinds of things. We pray for the church. We pray for revival. We pray for missions. We pray for God to bless our efforts, to bless our city, to bless our life, our finances. But what about praying, God, I want you. I want your glory. I want your spirit. I want to see you in a brand new way. I want to experience your anointing like I've never seen it before. God, show us your glory. Let your glory fill the house. Let your spirit fill this place. Glory to God. Oh, there's something that's just something about the supernatural presence of Almighty God. Once we've tasted it, once we've experienced it, we're not satisfied with just one time in the glory of God, but there's a hunger now for more. If you've never experienced that, oh, I want to tell you, you need to have it happen in your life. Just one time in the glory of God. Just one time when his spirit fills the place. Oh, just one time, and you'll never be able to go without it. But Lord, show us your glory. Let your power move, God. There's a hunger for more. If someone has never experienced that, then they really don't even know what to look for. They don't know what to ask God for. They it's hard to describe it until you've experienced it for yourself. And if a church has never been to that place, then the people don't even know what to push for. They don't even know what to seek after. But when it starts happening, the more that people experience the glory of God, there's a greater hunger for even more. Amen. God's trying to get this church to a completely new dimension in his presence. God's trying to take us somewhere, and sometimes we don't even understand because we can't fathom all that God wants to do. We can only go on our experience. But sometimes you got to launch out into the deep and say, God, I want you to take me to a new dimension. I want to see things I've never seen before. I want to experience something that I've never even dreamed of, Lord. Let it happen here, I pray. And today, I do believe that this church is completely different from when I came here as pastor 10 years ago. And I don't even take credit for that. I believe God's taken us someplace. And we're just all blessed and honored to be a part of what God's doing. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but praise the Lord. God's got more for us. God's not finished yet. Is there anybody here tonight that you want to see the glory of God? Hallelujah. You want to experience this supernatural glory of God. God is up to something good through the experienced church. God is up to something good. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not because we're just so wonderful, but it's the grace of God. It's his favor. We're in a season of revival. And good things are happening. People's lives are being changed. There's new people coming to the church. Growth is happening. This is an exciting time. Amen. It was sometime last year that the Lord spoke to me in prayer and impressed upon me about new people being added to the church. And it came at a time where I had been praying and reaching for some who it just seemed like they had lost their hunger for the Lord. And it's probably that way with some in every church, but I just had been so burdened for those that it was like they were just going through the motions, and they weren't really passionate about the things of God. And I felt the Lord, it was like he led me to shift my prayers from those who had become used to God's presence, and they took it for granted, and they'd lost their hunger for spiritual things. And sadly, there were some that just, you know, wouldn't be faithful to church, or those that just, you know, had this and that to complain about. And I'd become frustrated, I guess, as a pastor, trying to reach them and trying to minister to them, say, hey, come on, come to church and do this and do that. And come on, let's let God have the glory. Let's see what God's going to do. And then they just wouldn't keep their priorities right. And God directed me, though, to start praying and believing for new people who had never experienced this power. But when they do, they're not going to take it for granted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's not that I stop praying for those who are struggling, and it's not that I just write those off, but at some point, you got to make up your mind. At some point, we just have to decide that I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of the Lord. I'm going to pray and seek God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to buy into this with everything that I've got. And at some point, we just have to make a decision that we're going to live for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God spoke to me that there are those who have never experienced the glory of God. There are those in this city, they don't even understand what this is. They've never come in contact with it. But God is going to lead them, and there will be an intense hunger. There will be an intense thirst for God's glory. And I believe we're starting to see that come to pass. God is up to something good. God is up to something good. He's moving. He's working. His Spirit is making a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God appeared to Solomon. It was the second time. I want to tell you, it was how wonderful and awesome that God would appear to Solomon the first time when he became king. But now, years later, it was even better that God would grant a second experience to see the Lord and to hear from God. And so I believe today that each of us, we want to have renewed appearances, fresh manifestations, new visitations from on high. I'm thankful for what God's done in our past. But is anybody hungry for more? Hallelujah. Does anybody want a greater touch? Does anybody want to have a new revelation of the glory of God in your life and in your family? Oh, praise the Lord. So God appeared to Solomon the second time, and he says, I've heard your prayers, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. The great prayer of Solomon in dedicating the temple, it meant nothing unless God heard the prayer. And that's the true measure of our prayers. If God in heaven hears and answers, God heard Solomon's prayer, and he answered with fire from heaven. It was a powerful demonstration of his glory, and then he speaks to him In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's no greater verse in the Old Testament that shows the results we can expect when we get serious about repentance and prayer. And tonight we are believing for the same results that God promised them, that he will hear from heaven, that he'll forgive us of our sins, and he will heal our land, that he will bring revival. Amen. We're believing for that here tonight. In a few minutes tonight, we're going to pray this prayer. Each individually, but also corporately together, we're going to pray for revival. Amen. It's time for there to be a change, and there needs to be a change in this church, and a change in this city, a change in all of our lives. We can't remain comfortable and complacent. We can't remain content and cozy in all that's convenient. No, there's a world that's going to hell. There is a city that needs God. There are souls that are counting on us. The experienced church needs revival. Amen. The city of Springfield needs revival. Nixa needs revival. Amen. To see the revival like that, I'll tell you, it's going to take the glory of God. It's going to take a supernatural move. It's going to take the power of God working in a way that we've not seen before. But we've got to get a hold of this. If my people, which are called by my name, who is that? God's people called by his name. Israel had a covenant with the Lord. They were his own treasured people. They were a holy people. They were set apart. God had marked Israel by putting his name upon them. And if they dishonored his name by sinful living, he would bring judgment and correction. You look throughout the history of Israel, there was droughts, there were locusts, pestilence. God gave victory to their enemies over them. However, God did not write them off. But if they would humble themselves and pray, he would answer from heaven. If my people, which are called by my name. If you study that out, it literally could be said, those people upon whom my name has been called. Those people upon whom my name has been called. In the Apostle Paul's testimony of salvation, he said in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, he said, Ananias came unto him and said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Yes, Israel was God's people. They were called by his name. But today there's an even greater example of those upon whom his name has been called. Those who have repented of their sins and they've gone down in the waters of baptism with the name of Jesus Christ called over them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd hate to be somebody who has never had that precious name called over me in baptism. There's a lot of people say it doesn't really matter. Just call whatever name you want. They're baptizing people without the most important part. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, calling the name of Jesus over them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, if my people who are called by my name, if those who have had my name called over them would humble themselves and pray. The author of this, thousands of years ago, of course, was speaking to Israel, but oh, how close this meaning is for us here today. If we will humble ourselves, God promises something special to humble, praying people. Amen. There's something that's naturally humble about prayer, because true prayer recognizes that we don't have the answers for things that we're facing. And we've got to have God to give us the answer. True prayer declares that we're nothing without Him. That we can't exist without Him, but we need Him every day. We need Him every hour, every minute of the day. And so we've got to take hold of our own heart, and we've got to submit ourselves to God. Submission is a big part of humbling ourselves before God. And now that doesn't always happen within just a few minutes of prayer. Sometimes it takes a little bit, because there can be attitudes in us. There can be desires that really, it's only an extended time in the presence of God that reveals those sort of things. Sometimes our will is so strong that it takes the saturation of God's Spirit a little time to melt our hardened heart. And so we've got to humble ourselves. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But if we want to have revival in our lives and in our family and in our church, if we want to have revival in our city, we've got to humble ourselves before Him in prayer. Amen. Not my will, but Your will be done. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You got to pray. I've got to pray. God's people should always be praying people. Amen. God's people should always be praying people. If we aren't praying people, then we will soon find that we aren't God's people. Oh, we might come to church. We might be on a membership list. We might sing in a choir or teach a Sunday school class. But if we don't pray, how can we be a reflection of Jesus Christ in the world if we never talk with Him? Our fleshly nature is opposed to the things of God. And without prayer and fasting, our flesh will overwhelm the Spirit of God in our lives. And the flesh will be stronger than the Spirit. We must pray. We must humble ourselves in prayer. In just a few minutes, we're going to spend some time in prayer, because I tell you, we are in desperate need for revival in this church and in this city. And that's not something that our flesh is happy about, having to pray. Our flesh doesn't want to pray. We'd rather listen to preaching than pray. We'd rather have praise and worship than pray. We'd rather get together and fellowship and talk and eat donuts than to pray. Our flesh does not want to submit to God. Our will doesn't want to be crushed. But we're going to spend some time here tonight praying, because we're needing something that the flesh can't produce. Come on, is anybody hungry to see an earth-shaking revival grip our city and our world? So much so that things will never be the same. Our flesh cannot produce that. Hallelujah. We can have the best evangelists. We can have the best singers and musicians. We can have the most wonderful church location, all the programs a church would ever want. But without prayer, we are lacking power. Without prayer, nobody's life is going to be changed. It's got to take the power of God, and we connect through the power of prayer. If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, what does that mean? We literally want Him to turn his attention toward us. To our need, to our city, to our church. We want to get God's attention. We're seeking his face. God, hear our prayers. Look at us, God. Look at our need, our lives, our families. We need you. We're seeking his favor. Oh, I love what Paul told the people in Athens, Greece, in Acts chapter 17, verse 27. He said that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Oh, we're seeking after him. We're trying to find him. We're trying to feel after the Spirit of God until we find him. He's not far, but if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, we will find him. Hallelujah. And then we got to turn from our wicked ways. There needs to be genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. Turn, it's really the same basic word as repentance. To turn away. True repentance is not, well, I'm sorry I got caught, Lord. Repentance involves a change of direction. We turn from our wicked ways. But Pastor, you're talking to the church tonight. Do you not think that stuff doesn't try to creep in? And over time, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves allowing things that we would have never allowed before. Doing things, saying things, watching things. Letting the world influence our life and our home in ways that are wicked. It happens to all of us. Every one of us can get an attitude. Every one of us can make mistakes. Sometimes there's stuff in our heart we don't even know it's there. We don't even realize it's there. How are we going to get that out? God can reveal it to us in prayer. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we're praying, sometimes we have to come in repentance more than once. You might start out and come before the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. But then later on, there's some things that start kind of coming up to the surface. And God starts revealing some things and working some things. Go back into repentance, Lord. Get it cleansed and then go on in prayer. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God promises to hear our prayer. The prayers of those who are humble and prayerful and seeking and repentant people. He will bring forgiveness and healing. And that is revival praying. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for a move of God like we've never had before. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why are we pushing like this? Why are we having revival week after week? Is it because we just don't have anything else to do? Is it just to make everybody come to church on Saturday night and Sunday? Is it just so Brother Poe has a place to preach? No, we are desperate for the supernatural. We're pressing into the things of God. Because there's a hunger and a thirst that cannot be satisfied by anything else. Every once in a while I check on people that have been missing church. And several weeks ago I talked to this one individual. And they said, you know what? Probably going to miss church for a little while because I don't care for Brother Poe. And I can get that. You know, they said he rubs me the wrong way. Let me tell you why Brother Poe is the perfect evangelist for this church right now. Because we can't get stuck, folks. We can't get stuck. We we've got to have something to change. We've got to have something to make a difference. We've got to have something that rubs us a little wrong sometimes and gets on some stuff that has kind of been hiding out and we've been comfortable with. And I understand. Maybe you don't agree with his politics. I don't know that I agree with everything he says sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, help us. But folks, I need something that's going to shake me. I need something that's going to get a hold of my heart. Oh, come on, Lord. Hallelujah. We've got to have a change. We've got to have a breakthrough. If you've been missing these revival services, don't you miss what God's been doing. If you haven't been here, then you don't even understand what it is that God's doing. And you got to be careful, because if we miss it, it's like the church gets moving like a train. It takes a little bit to get moving, but once it starts going, all of a sudden it starts picking up steam. And for those who've been missing it, they don't even realize, but the train has left the station. And the church will get to moving and following after the things of God, and it'll leave us right where we're at. Don't miss this revival. Let's push. Let's pray. Let's worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing right now? I purposely prepared like half the notes that I normally prepare, because I knew we're going to have some time to pray here. And I even skipped through some things, but here we are. 7:52, if you're wondering what time it is. Normally we go to about 8:15. I asked them to kind of dim the lights, and in a moment they'll dim the rest of them. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray revival prayers. Revival prayers. If my people, which are called by my name. Who is that? That's us. That's us. If we will humble ourselves and pray. We're going to do that here in a moment. We're going to humble ourselves before the Lord. How do you do that? Lord, I need you. I need you, God. Lord, touch me today because I don't know what to do. And touch this church because, God, we can't produce your glory. We need you to work. We need you to move. And Lord, we're nothing without you. My people shall humble themselves and pray. And then we're going to seek his face. God, I pray that you would turn your attention to this little church in Springfield, Missouri. The world doesn't even know we're here, but God, I believe you can look down and see where we're at. I pray that you would turn your attention towards us, that you would show up in these services, that God, that you would move. And then if we'll turn from our wicked ways, let God work on your heart. Let God reveal some things that are not right in your life. And he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We're going to rejoice and we're going to claim the blessings and the provision and the favor of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So right now, I want you to find a place of prayer. Here's what I'm asking. I do not want everybody to just sit down and look around. Now, if you're physically not able to roll on the floor, I'm not telling you got to do that to break through, okay? You can sit there, but I want you to be praying here for a moment, okay? If you want to walk and pray, if you want to kneel up here at the altar or there in your pew, if you need to sit, that's fine. I just don't want to sit in here and just looking around at everybody else. I believe that there needs to be a sound of prayer that comes through this building right now, because we need revival. We need a breakthrough. We need a move of the Spirit of God. Is anybody hungry for it? Amen. Come on, would you find a place and let's spend a few minutes in prayer right now. Oh, God, we need you, Lord.